Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way. Podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Damn. What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Primetime.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
That looks like Manny Machado trotting around the bases.
You are correct, sir.
You guys seeing the same thing I am. That's three more for the Dodgers.
That's Manny Machado making, what, 350 mil, should we say?
Ooh.
Think someone gives him four?
He may give four.
Yankees are going to give, Mike, your Yankees going to give Machado 400 million?
No, I don't think they're going to, but somebody will.
390?
And play shortstop. Like, what? This guy.
That's what, well, you can play third too, but I think.
Well, but the fact that he can play shortstop, you know what I mean? Like, you're not supposed to be able to do that. What happened? Like in the '90s, it was Joey Cora playing out there, and
we talked about this over the
Omar Vizquel.
If you go back like 15, 20 years, right? Second baseman and shortstops.
Yeah,
they're all little dudes that hit like 220 in one home run, like Ozzie Smith.
Yeah,
you look at second baseman and shortstops now, and they're just built like tanks.
Yeah.
And you got to, you hit for power.
Sure. Every position. Almost have to.
Every position.
Yeah. Anyways, that guy, good at baseball.
Yeah. The Dodgers also good at baseball and getting ready to move on. What, 6-2 now over the Atlanta Braves?
Top of seven.
And the Yankees coming up, which will make Mike completely worthless. I feel like already Mike is like, I don't know, maybe a quarter of the way paying attention.
No, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm fine so far. I got until 4:40. I got
4:40. He'll check out.
I'm good.
He's faking effort now, yeah. So that when he knows that it shuts off at 4:40 when first pitch takes place.
The Judge Trill job of playing the New York.
How good is that?
Leaving the Red Sox clubhouse.
Legendary.
That's brilliant.
Fenway Park. He's walking out with a Bluetooth speaker attached to him, playing New York, New York.
As he walks past the clubhouse,
yes.
Of Red Sox.
Oh yeah.
Look, I hate the Yankees with an undying passion, but tip of the cap. First off, Aaron Judge is hard to hate.
Yeah.
AKA Herman Munster. The dude's an animal.
Yeah.
And that is a brilliant, brilliant troll job that is 100% intentional.
So I know that you were in Seattle this weekend. Did you catch the Griffey postseason baseball commercial?
I saw it on YouTube or Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, that is pretty fantastic. For anybody that's missed it, it's just kind of a sequence with the voiceover. You can't really tell who's voicing it, but it's, guys flipping bats and just going, the rules say don't do this and don't do that. And then it's Griffey looking back over his shoulder and he goes, let the kids play.
Yeah. And he's got his hat on backwards because that was the thing, like all the way back when Griffey came out. And what was that, 91?
I thought he started in 89.
He's way back when. And that was always the knock on Griffey, right? Is that he wore his hat backwards and that he played hip hop music and that was like bad for baseball. And here we are all these years later and we still have to listen to this crap that somehow that's not the way baseball should be played. And when you do get someone that has a little bit of flair, then we get some jackass that wants to put it between his numbers. Guys like that are good for baseball. Guys that play with emotion. That's why, as much as I dislike Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper is good for baseball.
Yes.
The Latino players that are bringing some flair and some culture to baseball, that is good for Major League Baseball.
Well, we just had the conversation about UFC and how the ancillary stuff draws people in that aren't big fans. But if you have guys like Ken Griffey Jr. drew an entire generation of baseball fans into the sport through his video game and through the way he did his Major League debut, April 3rd, 1989 for the Mariners, 19 years old.
You know, stuff like that is baseball needs more stars, and Judge is a star, and it's good to have him on the biggest stage. I mean, the Red Sox are loaded with talent, but how many Red Sox are household names? Like Mookie Betts is ridiculous.
Well, so is JD Martinez.
Yes.
They're competing for the batting title on the same team. And when nobody hits for average and we complain about it's just home run or strikeout, these guys are hitting the ball and putting it in play and hitting home runs.
And outside of Boston, Mookie Betts can probably walk into any bar in America and no one thinks twice. Mike Trout is as good a baseball player as we've seen
ever.
I mean, people talk about him like some sort of combination between Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays. And yet it's the same thing. Mike Trout doesn't have a bunch of national commercials. Mike Trout isn't necessarily a household name in non-baseball circles. Stars are good for baseball, especially young stars that want to carry that mantle. Cam Newton, you can say what you want, whether you like or dislike Cam. That's good for the NFL. Major League Baseball would be served so much better if we had some Cam Newtons in Major League Baseball and we allowed them to flourish and were embraced as opposed to being told that that's not the way to play the game or we're not going to market that.
Well, there's so much emotion invested in hate. You know, I mean, you act like it's a bad thing, but to hate another player, Mike, how much do you hate the Red Sox?
Oh, unendingly.
but how much time has you invested watching the Red Sox play to grow that hatred? You've seen him play the Yankees, what, 1,000 times?
Yeah, 19 times every year plus postseason.
You know, so you have to be invested into that. So if they don't draw you in, you can't hit him. Conor McGregor is the perfect example, and I hate to keep going back to UFC because I know we're not that show, but people hate Conor McGregor that have never seen him fight, that don't really know who he is, but he's in your face so much that you can grow this seething anger for the guy. And right now, the problem with baseball is all the guys that are hateable, you're indifferent to because you don't ever think about them. Yeah. The NBA has done extremely well promoting their stars almost to excess, where now your stars are just picking and choosing where they want to play. The NFL, almost to their own detriment, has made their guys such stars where Odell Beckham Jr. and Le'Veon Bell can kind of choose their own fate, and it's baseball's just a little bit behind on it. These stupid unwritten rules just keep holding them back.
Yeah, it's funner to hate teams. Like, I don't even hate one particular Yankee. I find this Yankee team to be less hateable than all the other Yankee teams, and yet I still hate them. Why? Mainly because of their fans, and they're the Yankees, and it's just fun to hate them. It's like Duke. Right, you don't know year to year who's going to be on Duke, but you know there's going to be a white guy and he's going to slap the floor and you're going to hate him. Regardless of what happens with the Yankees, I will find a way to hate them. And then in the coming years, they'll pay for Machado, or they'll pay for Harper, or they'll pay for someone, and then we'll go back to hating them rightfully so. Whereas now, it's probably unfair of me to hate the Yankees like this, but then their idiot fans dump a beer on an A's fan and then it reminds me of why I hate you all.
Let me throw this out there. I just have a question about it.
Sure.
Because it doesn't seem like the Yankees are going to go after Harper or Machado. It just kind of feels like they're set. If they don't actually go out and spend a ton of money, do you actually kind of like hate this team?
Oh, shut up. So here's the thing.
Seriously.
I'll tell you this. So a friend of mine and I were having this conversation, and I won't exhaust you with all of the repeating of what we did, but we sat there and were lamenting how much we hate the Yankees, and then we proceeded to list off the entire roster of the late 90s, because you know every one of those guys because they played in the World Series every year. Yeah. And again, you know them, and you can go back, and I guarantee you the two of us that aren't Yankees fan could go position by position with guys that were homegrown talents on that team, with the exception of a few free agent pickups that weren't big dollar signings, and we would know every single one. Between Suk and I, we could list off that entire roster, and it's very much like this team. It was guys that came up through the Yankee system, and yes, I still hate them. But you can hate them because you know them. You have to know somebody to really hate them.
I will hate them slightly less. I told you.
That's why I say like hate. Like, no, you hate them, but you kind of like them a little bit.
I will hate less. This team is less hateable than all the other Yankee teams. And there's part of me, that kind of likes Aaron Judge. Just a sliver. I said I find him hard to hate, and yet I still manage to do it.
Reminds you of Derek Jeter, right? Hard to hate.
A little bit. Jeter was
His exploits off the field made him more difficult to hate.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. The fruit basket.
You got it.
The fruit basket, the note.
Signing balls for ladies. Yeah. Damn it, Jeter. You magnificent son of a bee. Judge hasn't reached that level yet, but I went into this open to the idea that I wasn't going to hate the Yankees as much, but I'm telling you, game one against the A's, I went right back. Like, I need to learn to unhate them, I think is what it is. And we'll see what happens as this Sox series goes on. And I'm open to the idea that I will evolve. But I also went into the playoffs not wanting to hate the Yankees quite as much. And it's back.
My hatred is back. I will tell you the one thing that makes it hard to hate the Yankees at this moment is they're playing the Red Sox, who are also very hateable.
True.
That's another element to this whole thing.
Sure.
It makes me very happy that the Red Sox have gotten into the hateable territory, because it used to be.
Well, once they won that World Series, once they won that World Series, and that city has like 9 championships every year. Like, with all 4 of their teams win every 5 years, they just rotate through. Boston's a pretty hateable town.
They are. Well, one, it's really racist. And
very, very racist.
But I saw the ultimate one was after the Patriots won the Super Bowl. There was some little snot-nosed punk. He was like 12, 13 years old.
He's never known a year without a championship.
No, this little turd. He was sitting there in the front row of the, and he had the sign, and it listed off all the championship parades that he's been to, and I just wanted to smack him. Yeah. You're 13 years old, and you haven't understand what sports is, because sports isn't about winning, and sports isn't about feeling good in championships.
Sports is sports.
Sports is about getting kicked in the junk way sports more than business. It ever does for you. It just beats the hell out of you, and it's by being beaten down year after year after year that you learn to appreciate winning a title. Like Rob, I don't feel bad for Rob one bit. Rob went through like 30 years of just misery, and then they won a World Series. I don't begrudge him at all. Like, even though they beat the Mets to win their World Series, you know what? Good for Royal fans.
Yeah.
30 years you waited for that, and nothing good's happened in Kansas City since that. The only 2 good things that have ever happened in Kansas City are barbecue and the Royals winning a World Series once every 30 years. I give that to them. Fine. Tip of the cap. But for that little brat to be 13 years old and have celebrated like 8 championships, go to hell, kid. You don't understand. You think that's the way life is. You have an unrealistic expectation of what sports bringing you. And I look forward to the day where it just like sports reaches out and strangles you like it has the rest of us.
Over under 3 bridges being ripped down and thrown into the river if the Blazers win a championship. I'm going over 3.
If the Blazers ever do win another title, no one can begrudge them that. No. I don't care how obnoxious their fans get. You have to be like, you know what? Good. It happened, and do whatever you want. Burn a bridge, throw a couch, whatever. You've earned it. Fine.
See the Eagles post Super Bowl celebration. We got to get to Stockwatch. We'll do that next. Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, I'll just start.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought we did that.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, this is your segment. I don't have to do any work.
Sailing.
Yeah, I just sit back and let you take care of it.
Stockwatch.
I'm not selfish like I Isaac, and I need to come in and make it all about me.
I know. Rob's. Always like it's thunder. Isaac.
All right, well, I'll play the clip, so let's go.
All right, we'll do it.
Well, it sounds pretty similar to the last few weeks. I mean, it's tough to get over the hump. You know, again, I think we continue a battle, but it's a reoccurring thing. We get ourselves down 14-0, but battled back. I thought offensively we were able to find some things in the run game and distribute the ball at times and move the ball, and so got us back in this game. But that's a good football team.
There's a Dusty Hare, I mean Jonathan Smith, on the loss to Washington State. Buy or sell, you still feel optimistic about the job Smith is doing despite just the one win and a very tough schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah, they're not going to win another game. They're just their defense is that bad. And I've talked about this, that you're not going to out-scheme that. You do not have the Jims and Joes on defense. It is unphysical a group as I've seen in the Pac-12 in years. And this happens. This happened with Washington State. It happened with Colorado. It happened with Washington when they had to go through their rebuilding phase under Sark. You just don't have the horses, and it doesn't matter what scheme you're going to come up with. It's going to be a while. But when you look at the recruiting is getting better, you're getting some transfers that are coming. Half of Nebraska wants to come to you, to the point where Nebraska blocked one of their players who's leaving the program from transferring to Oregon State. That's how bad it's going to Nebraska, and they don't want people going to Oregon State. So there's a lot of momentum on the recruiting trail. I love what they're doing on offense, and I think they're doing without a Pac-12 quarterback. No offense to Blount or Coletto or Luton, who's going to be gone anyways, and he's been hurt. But you don't have a real Pac-12 quarterback. That should be changed next year.
Yep.
Jamar Jefferson is on pace to break the freshman rookie running record, and he's doing it against eight-man fronts where teams are scheming against him. That dude is a legit stud. There's things, and your offensive line is rounded into form nicely. There is a lot to like about what they're doing, and they're creative on offense. They're finding ways to get guys in the open field. So I really like what Jonathan Smith is doing, but it's not going to result in wins this year. And to be honest with you, it may not result in wins for a couple of years. If you look at those other programs that took a while that were this low, the Colorados, the Washington States, it may take 2 or 3 years, but you're seeing progress. And we knew this year was not going to be about wins and losses. So yes, I'm still optimistic, and they're bringing back the retro Benny the Beaver look for next week, which is awesome. They should ditch the Beaver Shark and go with the retro look because it's kick-ass. It's one of the best looks in the Pac-12. Keep it. Like the momentum for Oregon State.
You have to be optimistic about this because there's no other choice. I mean, how could you be pessimistic about the job that he's doing compared to what happened last year?
Yes.
I mean, unless he decides to quit and give all the money back, I mean, there's really nowhere to go but up for this. But yes, there is momentum on offense. You can see the culture change kind of in effect, and you don't hear any of the whispers of things going on and being chaotic. After that win in the Civil War 2 years ago, you thought it was on the right trajectory, but last year could not have gone worse. And so if you root for the Beavers, you literally have no choice but to be hopeful for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I would, but in that case, you don't question the coach's decision. Defense, I've been playing good all night. I mean, they kept us in the game a bunch of the game. I mean, from the second quarter there in the fourth quarter, they gave us chance all day long. So I mean, coach made the decision to go with the defense. So
Dak Prescott says he would have gone for it on 4th and 1 last night when Jason Garrett instead chose to punt when in Texans territory. Houston won the game on the next drive. With all the overtimes we've been seeing this year, there have been a lot of them. We've seen a couple of ties. We've seen a lot of games that have been close to ties. Buy or sell, every NFL coach should be going for it in that situation, even if it eventually makes them lose the game.
No. It's a situation by situation thing. I think what Frank Reich did the other day was stupid. That wasn't even 4th and 1. I think it was 4th and 3-ish, yeah. Maybe even a long 4th and 3, closer to a 4th and 4. And he was in his own territory. He was on his side of the 50. That's ridiculous. And his thing was, if we punt that ball and there was 20 something seconds left in the game or whatever, yeah, you punt that ball and ends in a tie. A tie is a hell of a lot better than a win. And I just, that's a risk reward thing. So look, I'm not going to say that every time you should do that and just be happy with a tie or, you know, obviously leading to a loss. I just think it's situational, and a lot of it is kind of gut, right? How tired is your defense? Where are you at on the field? So I just can't say blindly that you should go for it on every 4th down at the end of a game just because you know, you don't want to end up in a tie, or you feel like, you know, that's what you have to do. And I don't buy that.
It's amazing to me that people get so confused by what a tie means. It's well, you know, I'd rather lose than tie. Why? You're an idiot. You know, Donovan McNabb a few years ago, I didn't even know ties existed in the NFL. It's not that difficult of a concept, and it's not that bad of a result. And we've seen in the last couple of years, the playoffs come down to a team that had a tie versus a team that with the same amount of wins that didn't. I mean, it's math. It's not that hard, but maybe it is for some of these football minds. And yeah, I'll sell that too. The part of the reason this is getting so much criticism is that there were people that were successful doing the same thing. The Rams did it at the end of the Seahawks.
The Rams were going to punt.
Yep.
Carroll called the timeout. They got talked into going for it. He went for it. It was the end of the game. Now, chances are they punt, they win anyways. But,
sure,
you know, he decided to go for it. And look, I don't mind being aggressive, but I do think that there's an element of, like, with what Frank Reich did, I thought that was a stupid logic. I'm not playing for a tie.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not playing for a tie. Well, then you played for a loss because it was 4th and 4. You didn't get it. And you basically gifted them a field goal.
Yeah, and it's always easy to look back and just see what the results were based on what it was. And without DeAndre Hopkins making one of the plays of the year in the NFL, they don't lose that game either. So there you go.
They don't care who gets the 27th out. They don't care who gets the 24th out. The starting rotation has a lot of pride in staying in the game, but this bullpen has built a culture down there that that is really second to none, where there's not a lot of egos, there's not a lot of tension, there's a ton of support for each other, and that's not easy nowadays when they're all fighting for the same inning and for the same opportunity.
I'm going to change this one a little bit, but that's Astros manager AJ Hinch on his bullpen this year. Last year, the Astros' biggest weakness was the bullpen. Didn't wind up costing them the World Series, but it made a lot of games closer than it should have been. Buy or sell, the Astros of the teams left is the most complete team in the postseason. Astros, Brewers.
Yeah.
Assuming the Dodgers here, and then Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah, you know, it's not a bad argument because everyone's going to say Boston, but I think Boston's bullpen is beyond suspect. I mean, the fact that you had to go to a starter that was supposed to be like what your game three starter, you had to go to Porcello in game one. I mean, outside of Kimbrel, who do you really have in the Sox pen that you really like?
None of them. It's not a good bullpen.
No, yeah. It's not. The Yankees have a great bullpen. They have a great offense, but you're not in love with the starting pitching. Dodgers are pretty complete. Yeah, Houston's the most complete team. They really are, because with the Brewers, it's more of a starting pitching issue. And I don't think you can say that really about Houston. When Houston's fully healthy, I do think they probably are the most complete team left in baseball.
Yeah, and they're the defending World Series champions, and their bullpen is better than it was last year.
I think with starting pitching and bullpen, I think it was the best ERA in all of baseball. I think Astros pitching staff was.
Yeah, so if you win the World Series and you improve your roster, then how do you not, you know, and if somebody is their equal, they're still their equal, and they'd be tied for the most complete team in baseball.
Well, they bludgeon the Indians. It's like no one's talking about them, right? Where everyone's paying attention to Boston, New York, and obviously the Dodgers are about to move on and people are paying attention to them. Milwaukee's kind of a fun story, and no one's talking about, and I guess it's Cleveland, and maybe we didn't expect much out of Cleveland, but no one's talking about the fact that the Astros are really freaking good and just got done beating the hell out of the Cleveland Indians.
And Young and the veterans that they have are studs and playing like they're young. The whole thing. You don't want to play the Astros right now, Mike. You just don't. Just lay down against the Red Sox. We'll all be happier for it. And then move on.
The pitching matchup slightly favors the Yankees because Luis Severino's at home. He's a 19-game winner, and he's starting to find the great stuff that made him one of the best pitchers in baseball the first 3 months of the season. Then he lost it. Now it looks like he's getting it back. And I found it interesting that the Red Sox kind of switched their plan. They were going to start Rick Porcello. Now they're going to Nate Eovaldi, who's got great stuff, throws real hard. And I think that's what they needed. I think in this day and age, increased velocity is what everyone's looking for. He has it, and we'll see what he can do.
There's Tim Kirk, Jen, on the Yankees-Red Sox series tonight. It is Severino versus Eovaldi, and Eovaldi's pitched well against the Yankees this year in the regular season. Buy or sell, this series for you guys is too close to call right
100%,
now.
100%. We knew this after game one that this wasn't going to be over. The Red Sox are really good, and so are the Yankees, and so are the Astros. I mean, you can make the case that that's the three best teams in baseball. And the Yankees came out and jumped all over David Price, who is just, I mean, you talk about a dumpster fire. I don't know how Boston keeps rolling him out there. I mean, not just
especially against the Yankees.
Against the Yankees.
He's terrible in the playoffs, and he's terrible against the Yankees. And guess what? He's worse when it's both.
Apparently, they were doing the introductions at Yankee Stadium, and they introduced David Price, and he got a standing ovation.
I believe it.
I mean, it's
and he got booed mercilessly in Boston.
But yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got you can make the case these are the two best teams in baseball, and it's 1-1 going back to New York. Far too close to call on this, and hopefully it goes fives and gives us a great series. But I don't have a great feeling either way about this.
One, what's the other thing that happens in sports that we see all the time? You see a rivalry game and you go throw out the records, right? I mean, these teams have faced each other so many times, and there's nobody that knows each other's lineup any better than these two know each other. They have an insane postseason history, regular season history. They've been rivals forever. So just from a 10,000-foot view, you know, it's always going to be interesting when they play. And then on top of it, these lineups are absolutely insane. I mean, you don't want to pitch to anybody on either side, and then they just have talent stacked up all over the place.
But
I mean,
if the Yankees get their starting pitching going, I mean, the bullpen here could be a huge deal, because the Yankee bullpen is much better than Boston's. In a lineup filled with studs, you know, if a starting pitching ends up being equal, we see it in the postseason all the time that if it ends up being the bullpen, the Yankees have a huge advantage here. They go, what, six deep in their bullpen from both sides of the dish, and all guys that you feel comfortable about. When Zach Britton is the one guy in your bullpen that maybe you're a little like, that lets you know that your bullpen is really stinking good.
But the other thing, too, about this, the final piece of this series is look where they play the games. I mean, those are two ballparks that are just built in such a bizarre fashion. I mean, Fenway is obviously the most unique, and you can hit home runs out of Yankee Stadium like you're, you know, it's just swinging with ease and they can pop out of there. So the ballparks play into this even a little bit, too. So for sure.
That's it. That's the end of Stockwatch today.
All right, that's Stockwatch. It's brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. When we get back, let's... I almost forgot. It's in the news.
Oh, yeah.
Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
Blip, blip.
Big. Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
It's getting closer and closer to that time where we lose Mike for the show.
Yeah.
He is just spouting endless Yankees Red Sox facts into our ears throughout the entire break.
Hey, it happens. Apparently, I just dropped a tie is a hell of a lot better than a win. Apparently, I dropped that one when we were talking about the football ties.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, I thought I caught that. you were just going, so I was like, I'm not going to correct it.
Well, go back and find it, and it'll make it on the drop page. That'll always be a good
one.
Yeah,
I mean, it's obviously a tie better than a loss.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yeah, hell of a lot better.
Apparently, I flipped that. Tie is better than a win. Who wants to win?
Yeah, why win when you can tie?
Wins are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Get more ties. Throw ground balls. They're more democratic.
All right, well, today is October 8th, and it is 4:38. It's time for In the News.
There we go. Somewhere Rob is very sad that he is not able to report In the News.
Well, and with the picture we just looked at for a leader-to-be-told story, he's going to be very upset he's missing that one. But for right now, I'm your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation, Luke Anderson.
News contributor. That's what I do. I contribute news. I'm no news man. I mean... I'm no Isaac Rop.
No. I'm just a fill-in guy, yeah. So we're not going to try to replace him. We're just going to try to do the best we can in his honor.
We're like the Saturday morning news team. You ever flip on like KGW, like Saturday, Sunday morning? You're like, who the hell are these people?
No, because I'm literally the Saturday morning guy for this station.
Oh, yeah.
So that's true. Keep in mind.
You're that guy. Oh, yeah.
That's literally what I'm doing.
Who is that guy?
Saturday
that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine this. Stepping on a train in Portland, Oregon at noon and stepping off about 2 hours later in Vancouver, British Columbia.
That's pretty badass. Now, I do make this drive usually about once a year, and it's not a terrible drive.
Go catch a hockey game?
Yeah. It's okay. Only about, it's about 4.5 to 5 hours to the border, and then another, I don't know, 30 minutes and change to actually get into Vancouver. So not bad. 5 to 5.5 hours and you're there. It's a wonderful drive. But
passengers would whiz past Seattle in less than an hour. Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia governments are hoping to take that far-flung vision and turn it into reality by 2035.
This is like when you schedule Ohio State, right? Like 15 years down the road, you're like, yes. It's coming. I'll probably be dead by then. My old ass will have a heart attack.
Your grandkids will love it. High-level transportation officials from each will meet Tuesday for a second discussion this year about the so-called ultra high-speed rail line connecting the three cities would actually look like. It's still in its infancy, obviously, but the train could go 250 miles an hour or more. Currently, the fastest train in the U.S. goes 154.
Boss. Although, I don't want this. I want that Tesla tube. That Tesla tube is supposed to go way faster than this, right?
Yeah, you've got a train in Japan that goes 600, and I think the tube would do more than 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, so what the hell? What is this Bush League? 2 hours from Vancouver to British Columbia. No.
20 minutes.
Tesla has promised me that I can go from, like, New York to L.A. in, like, 40 minutes. That's what I want. Give me the tube, man. I don't want some bullet train. Step your game up.
Yeah, if you're talking about 25 years ago, not 2035.
Yes,
come
if
on.
You told me right now that I can get on a train and 2 hours later I'm in Canada, I'm excited about it. If you're telling me in 2035 that's the best I can do, horse sneers. Calling ridiculous on that.
It sounds to me it's going to take you 17 years and 2 hours to get to British Columbia.
Exactly.
That's what it feels like.
I want something cooler than that. By 2035, think about how far we've come.
Yeah.
Like in the last 20 years.
So it's 17 years until that date. So go last 17. So yeah. Since 2001, look what we've done.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got an iPhone.
We've got way cooler stuff, right?
Yeah.
The porn I'm able to download at a way faster rate. Hello, 2035. Give me something cooler than that.
Yeah, I'm quite disappointed, but I'll tell you what, 2019's got something cool for you. New Kids on the Block, Salt and Pepper, Tiffany, and Naughty by Nature all coming back to Portland in 2019.
Is that one concert?
It is. It is. Debbie Gibson's also part of it. So New Kids on the Block has a tour that they're calling the Mixtape Tour, and it is New Kids, Salt and Pepper, Tiffany, Naughty by Nature, and Debbie Gibson coming to you June 2019.
You think Naughty by Nature looks around and is like, really?
Like, are people still down with OPP?
I don't know. Are we? Are we hip-hopping Harane? Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, those are great tunes.
What does the crowd look like at this show?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying is, like, what's Deb Gibson? And I do think it's Deb now. I don't think it's Debbie.
It says Debbie right here in what I'm reading.
She's going back because when she wanted to be taken seriously as an actress. And by the way, let's not forget her tour de force performance in Sharktopus. Because she was in Sharktopus, and it was great. And then it was the more serious Deborah, or Deb, if you will. It wasn't Debbie. Yeah. So I'm getting Electric Youth. I'm getting Push It, OPP, Hangin' Tough, and what's the...
I think we're alone now,
right?
Yeah.
All mixed. I get that under one concert ticket?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
How much is that ticket?
Oh, I can't be much. I'm guessing they're rolling back the prices to the late 80s, early 90s as well.
Are we going like 1995?
I don't know. It's targeting an older consumer. Maybe it's a little higher.
Is it?
What would you pay for it? Over, under $35?
Under. Okay. Under. But if you told me...
You can get it in for $35. All those hits. You're not doing it?
I'm not doing it. But if you told me...
God, no.
Hey, listen. You don't even know who these people are, Mike.
Well, yes, I do.
If you told me 19... Like, I got a 20 in my wallet right now, and I happen to be walking by... Is it the Moda Center?
I think it's Moda Center.
Because I feel like this belongs at the Memorial Coliseum,
right?
Doesn't it? Like, it doesn't really feel like the Moda Center.
No.
This feels more of the Whoa Memorial.
Oh, here you go. I've got the opening ticket price right here from Ticketmaster. It is Moda Center.
Yeah,
$26.95 gets you in the door.
See, we're in the market now. You knock $6 off of that, and it's 20. I got a $20 bill in my hand, and I happen to be walking by the Moda Center.
Scalper asked you 20 for it.
And I'm not planning on going. I'm just, for whatever reason, I'm down there. Let's say I'm going to like the homeless encampment. I don't know. I'm just cruising around the Moda Center. And so I was like, hey, $20. Deb Gibson, OPP. Yeah. Hey, you might get my $20.
Which one pulls you in?
Probably.
You're not selling this very well, Sue. It might get me
for that. Probably Naughty by Nature.
Okay.
Would probably rope me in the most.
I want to see Salt and Pepper.
Yeah. I had a thing for Salt and Pepper back in the day.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've aged very well.
No, they have not. And that's half the fun.
Yeah. It's interesting. You might be able to get me for $20 on that. I'm not going to say yes. But
you're not going to say no.
But I'm not going to say no. It's a lot of hits under one roof. They're doing
very
this
true.
Like the, there's like a holiday. What are they, like the Boo, whatever, the Boo Blast. It's like a bunch of crappy R&B acts. Like Genuine and like, yep. I think like
you have to listen to 10 songs to hear the one you like.
Yeah, I think the thong song is gonna be there.
Oh,
they put like, this is what they're doing now, is they're taking all these like one hit or like 3-4 hit wonders and they put them together on one bill. Like, I want to see them all at once. I want to see Naughty by Nature, Salt and Pepper, Deb Gibson, and Tiffany all doing one hit. And if you throw in Marky Mark and or the Funky Bunch, now I'm in.
How do you know if a hurricane is male or female? That is next when the news continues. This is Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
And with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're in the middle of in the news, but there's a slight possibility that we've been hijacked by a concert coming
to town. By this concert coming to town. I'm not going to lie. I originally said that it was probably going to be like Salt and Pepper or Naughty by Nature that would and wrote me into that show for $20, it may be the New Kids.
Coming to
maybe I want to do the New Kids dance. Maybe I want to hang tough.
Coming to Moda Center on June 2nd, the Mixtape Tour. New Kids on the Block, Salt and Peppa, Tiffany, Naughty by Nature, and Debbie Gibson.
Who doesn't?
$26.95 gets you in the door.
I found the Tiffany song, Sukes. So you're going to get the Tiffany song.
Yes. Yes. My sister loved New Kids on the Block, and I'm not going to lie. I probably have heard Hangin' Tough 8,000 times in my life and can probably sing every word of it. And when that came on, there was a wee bit of nostalgia there that got me. I was like, all right. You got me, New Kids. You
so,
got me.
So $26.95 gets you in the door. $54 gets you and your sister just to see her watch New Kids. Is that worth it?
Yeah.
Because you see what I'm saying?
I may see if the sister wants to go and hang tough with me.
Because oftentimes an event is who you keep company with. Is that not the case? And to see her go out there.
Hanging tough.
All right, we need to warn anybody that's listening from radio.com in the Gulf Coast. Hurricane Michael is heading for landfall as a major hurricane with 115 mile-an-hour winds along the Gulf Coast on Wednesday, prompting hurricane warnings for the region. It's a monstrous storm, and I hate to make light of it, but I showed you the weather mapping picture that they used for this.
Yeah, you got to change that.
It is rather phallic.
Yeah, let's just say that Hurricane Michael is not hanging tough. He's hanging dong. It's coming at you. There's a giant, there's a giant weather penis coming right for the Gulf Coast. There's no other way to put it.
Boner has swung.
Yeah, it has. And it's going right for the Gulf Coast. Like, you showed me that photo. It's, like, perfect.
There is a wrinkle in the lower region of this storm. Yeah. It's been folded. There's folds to this storm when it makes landfall.
And this is my thing. Who's ever putting up that photo on the weather report, that's a purpose pitch. That's 100%. I get it that it's shaped like that, but there's other photos
that is the path of the hurricane, is it not?
There's other photos that you could have used that as the storm shifted and moved, that it wouldn't look quite as penis-y. You chose, someone in the weather department was like, hey, check this out. Yeah, this is the one we're going to use. Yeah, like you're about to be battered. You're about to be battered by Hurricane Penis. That's what's going to happen, Gulf Coast, and we feel for you.
It is definitely a rough one, and there's something appropriate, and I've been trying to figure out exactly how they name these storms. Any storm over 39 miles an hour gets a first name.
It just goes alphabetically.
But they pre-plan these. But the fact that this is a male storm, too, it's just there's something.
Exactly. It wouldn't be quite the same if it was Hurricane Irene.
Yeah.
And the penile shape was coming right at you. But Hurricane Michael, it's bringing the heat. I love that region of the country. And there's always part of me that says I kind of want to retire down in Key West, one of my favorite places. But that whole hurricane thing, I've never been anywhere where like there's big natural disasters. Yeah. Like I've never lived in the Midwest with Hurricane Alley.
Tornado Alley.
Yeah, Tornado Alley. I've never been, when the little time I spent in Florida, I never dealt with a hurricane or anything. I've never had the earthquakes or whatever. Just there's something about that. Those people that live with that every single year that you're going to get hurricane season.
It's funny that you brought up Hurricane Irene. My wife and I landed in Washington, D.C. for our trip across the East Coast the same day as Hurricane Irene.
Yeah.
So we landed there and it was we were just starting to see the weather patterns form and the time it takes. Mike, you've been in hurricanes, I assume, when you were growing up.
Yes.
And the time it takes for it to go from a little wind and a little rain to just streets flooding and the switch that it makes is absolutely insane. But it's just batting down the hatches, kind of business as usual. We were in D.C. and they just kind of closed us in. They were very accommodating to making, amendments to our travel arrangements because we were traveling by train. Everything got flooded. The hotels kept us in-house and did everything. But it was kind of business as usual. And that was part of the creepy part. Yeah, was you go, holy cow, the storm just came and devastated everything. And they're like, yeah, we get these all the time.
Yeah, Rob talks about that. So Rob grew up in Tornado Alley, right? He grew up in Kansas. And he talks all the time, like the tornado warnings, like no one cares. Like you get them in Kansas and people are like, whatever. Like for me, I see the hurricanes down there in Florida or the Gulf Coast. I'm like, oh man, that's awful. You talk to anyone that's down in Florida, they're like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a very different experience because I've been in both New Jersey where I grew up and Florida visiting grandparents in two different hurricanes. And in New Jersey, it'll hit. It's really rainy. It's really windy. Sometimes it can be bad like Sandy where it floods a lot.
Yeah.
But in Florida, it's everyone's got the hurricane like shields for their windows, yeah. and you put them all up, and you just sit in the house for a day or two, and then it goes by, and then you go back.
Everyone's like, hey,
you hope your car's still there when you get done.
We're like, we're fine. Yeah. Like, yeah, no big deal. Head underground.
Yeah, absolutely bizarre. Speaking of weather, Stormy Daniels says she regrets body shaming President Trump with a graphic description of his little Trump.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you haven't caught this, there's a bit on Jimmy Kimmel where she comes out and actually tries to identify it from several models that they've created. But in the book that she wrote, she provides a description of little Trump and compares it to a Mario Kart character. I'm sure you guys have discussed this.
Yeah.
Well, she went on 60 Minutes Australia and she said that because in a way it's body shaming, she actually apologizes for putting that in her book.
Oh, way to go, Stormy Daniels, huh?
Yeah.
It's kind of late to apologize since it's already been circulated. But
well, and she literally just went on Jimmy Kimmel and picked out the mushroom, the orange mushroom that most closely resembled it. And it wasn't one of the big ones.
Mm. Well, look, but doesn't that shame you because you slept with him? Like, I mean, I'm not going to say that like either one of them maybe has the greatest reputation with some people, but at the same time, like, you're the one that stooped him.
Yeah.
Like, you slept with him. I mean, I get it. Like, he was married and it makes him kind of sleazy, but what does it make you that you thought he was disgusting, but you slept with him anyways?
So that's funny because that's actually her defense when people say she's making up the claim. Daniels defends her claim by telling 60 Minutes Australia that if she was going to make up an affair with a celebrity, she would have picked, and again, she just apologized, somebody that was way less embarrassing than Donald Trump. So she apologized for body shaming out of one side of her mouth and then goes, it was one of the most embarrassing people you could possibly sleep with. I'm guessing her decision-making faculties not all intact.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say she's not the brightest bulb in the drawer.
It's funny how because she's got dirt on somebody that a bunch of people dislike, all of a sudden she's been put out there in the forefront as somebody that any authority on anything.
Exactly.
She's a porn star.
And she thinks it's great. She's made a bunch of money off of this. I never heard of her before this.
Nope.
Probably the best thing that ever happened to her.
Nobody's buying her book if this doesn't happen.
No one should be buying her book anyways. Trust me, if America needs to read more, this isn't the book to do it. And if you are buying the Stormy Daniels book, you need to take a long, hard look in the mirror and reevaluate what the hell you've got going on in your life. If anyone wants to read that thing.
Back to sports. And we do that with the Hot 5 at 5. We will do that next. You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.